story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Dr. Russell Blaylock, an old friend. We've known him for 20 or more years. And he was a neurosurgeon, practiced in Jackson, Mississippi. He's retired now. He researches health issues. He's written a wonderful book we carry, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. And his first book was Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, going into the aspartame, NutraSweet, MSG problems that we really have in our society, because these are excitotoxins and they destroy brain cells. And so why are they putting them in our food? Well, there are a lot of questions you'll have as you listen to our programs, and you begin to realize that you're not getting the truth about what's happening, or what the scientific studies show about medicine. And the great tragedy is we have an awful lot of good doctors out there who don't get this information because, well, their organizations don't tell them about it. And that's why you need to get educated and help us educate them. Russell Blaylock, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Stan. I appreciate it.
Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? Now, remember, this is a different audience than we had when you were on last week, so you can talk about the same thing, I think, if you want to, or whatever you want.
Yeah, let's kind of mix some things together, because they're all sort of related, and primarily it's all based on the idea that we have this propaganda network is fueled by the pharmaceutical company, but supported by the government, and in collusion with one another, what they're doing is giving some very bad advice to people for in terms of their health. And what I want to concentrate on is one of the greatest health expenditures in the United States, and that's heart attack and strokes. Heart attacks alone and cardiovascular disease kills almost a million people a year. When you add 700,000 strokes with 160,000 deaths a year, that's over a million people every year dying of this disease. What I've done, I've completed a rather intensive study of the cause of this disorder, its prevention, and it's obvious that you could prevent at least 90% of arteriosclerosis that's occurring in heart attacks and strokes, which would save the United States medical care hundreds of billions of dollars spent every year on medical care. That would dramatically reduce our budgetary expenditure, save a lot of taxes, save a lot of people from spending their income on medications that's not that effective. So that's basically what we want to concentrate on. And what I've discovered is that actually this disorder we call atherosclerosis, or hardening of the arteries, begins at birth. My old pathology professor was the leading expert on atherosclerosis in the world when I was in medical school, and he led the field from then on. And he proved that through numerous studies, and independent groups have too, that this disorder starts almost at birth. And when they autopsied babies, they found almost 100% of them had their early findings of arteriosclerosis.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Russell Blaylock, right here at Radio Liberty. All right, Russell, let's go from there.
And what he then found in a separate study was that by the time they reached the teenage years, they begin to develop the advanced lesions. They're starting to develop what we call raised lesions. In other words, they're sticking out into the blood vessel. And by the time they were 20 or 30 years of age, they had rather advanced arteriosclerosis, and anywhere from 14 to 25% of these young people. And what we're seeing now is that we're seeing a lot more arteriosclerosis of advanced type, with heart attacks and strokes occurring in people less than 65 and even less than 50. We're having a lot of deaths in 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds from a disease that used to be considered old people's disease. And now we know why. And so what I did, I looked back at the old studies to see, well, is there any evidence of this cholesterol theory? Because another big thing is, oh, there's this thing called bad cholesterol, and if your cholesterol is elevated, we need to put you on this drug called a statin, cholesterol-lowering drug, Crestor, and things like that. And it'll lower your cholesterol and protect you against heart attack and stroke death. Well, I researched this rather intensely, and what I found out is that in the early studies, back in the 1920s, 1930s, when they first discovered this connection to cholesterol, the way they were producing it, they were using an experimental animal, a rabbit. And so they fed the rabbit cholesterol and found out that the rabbit developed this horrendous arteriosclerosis over a period of months, and that the arteriosclerosis began very soon after they fed the cholesterol. Well, the secret was that they couldn't get the cholesterol to dissolve very well, so they dissolved it in things like corn oil, safflower oil, which we call the omega-6 oils. And that if you didn't dissolve it in those oils, if you just fed pure cholesterol, they didn't develop arteriosclerosis at all. And that it was actually the vegetable oils like corn oil, safflower oil, peanut oil, soybean oil, those oils were oxidizing the cholesterol, and it was the oxidized cholesterol that was causing the problem. They also found that something was even worse, and that was what we call the partially hydrogenated oils. If you're our age, you remember Crisco and things like that. These were supposed to be vegetable oils that you could cook with, and they were rather solid, so it was easy to scoop up. But these were partially hydrogenated, and that produces a high level of something called trans fatty acids. Well, most people now know that that's associated with a high instance of heart attack and stroke.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with Radio Liberty, and our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock. And he was just simply saying that the early studies that were done where they actually created arteriosclerosis in rabbits was actually feeding them cholesterol, and of course they got arteriosclerosis, but it wasn't the cholesterol, it was the vegetable oils that they were putting in there. And yet they attributed it all to cholesterol, and they told us to go ahead and eat all these vegetable oils. When they took the vegetable oils away and fed the rabbits cholesterol, they didn't get arteriosclerosis. So this whole cholesterol theory has really been, it's really been sort of a scam. But pick up the story there, Russell.
Well, when they looked at the trans fatty acids, if you fed that to a rabbit and added a little cholesterol, then you got extremely high levels of cholesterol in the rabbit, even higher than with the vegetable oils. So then the exciting thing was when they looked at these levels, the really high level of cholesterol, the moderate level of cholesterol, and the lower level of cholesterol, they found no difference in the arteriosclerosis. It wasn't directly correlated with your level of cholesterol. It was just the fact that you had some oxidized cholesterol in there at all produced the arteriosclerosis. It didn't matter how much cholesterol you had total. Now, when we look at the modern studies after these things were done, and in fact, one of the really interesting ways they showed cholesterol didn't cause it, they injected the cholesterol directly in the artery, and it never produced arteriosclerosis. So then in the modern studies, when we look at it, it's all based on these early studies. They're just quoting this, saying, well, you know, these early studies proved it, and so we know that cholesterol feeding can cause arteriosclerosis, and that's the model we use now. But all the modern studies use the same technique. They mix it with vegetable oil. Well, what people need to realize is that since the 1930s, 1940s, and particularly 1950s, the government was heavily promoting the use of vegetable oil to prevent arteriosclerosis and prevent heart attacks and strokes. And so all the manufacturers began to switch from the natural oils to these highly unsaturated, polyunsaturated vegetable oils, corn oil, safflower oil, soybean oil. And so they began to switch, and the mass of America was using these oils to cook with and make salad dressings and etc. What they didn't know is that actually they were dramatically increasing heart attacks and strokes. Now, there was a researcher that I met actually and talked to her about this. She, a long time ago, back in the 60s, had pointed out the danger of the trans fatty acids and its connection to arteriosclerosis. And she could get nowhere, even though she proved it every kind of way that you could prove it. Then other researchers picked it up, and they found the same thing she did. But the government wouldn't change the recommendations on these hydrogenated oils and partially hydrogenated oils, despite this extensive research showing it was producing high arteriosclerosis.
Well, Russell, would you be better off just eating butter rather than margarine then?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the interesting thing is, almost until this recent revelation where they began to admit that trans fatty acid is associated with heart attacks and strokes, the government pamphlets were playing it down. They wouldn't even put it in the pamphlet that trans fatty acid had any problem. So we had two recommendations from the federal government, from the public health, from our major nutritionists, and from the medical community saying you need to have a higher intake of partially hydrogenated vegetable oil and a higher intake of vegetable cooking oil, both of which dramatically increase the problem.
And all the scientific studies verified that, didn't they?
Not only the scientific studies, but all the clinical studies. When we look at the epidemiology for that 50-year period, not only was there no reduction in heart attacks and strokes, but it actually increased. The only fall in strokes that ever occurred was when people began to smoke less, because we know smoking is highly correlated with oxidation of cholesterol and producing free radicals in the vessels. So that was the only time there was any fall at all. It had nothing to do with use of vegetable oils. They were increasing the problem. Then we looked at a period. I looked at some of the what we call meta-analysis, and that's where they take 20 or 30 different studies, large studies, and combine them. And when you look at the meta-analysis of the drugs that lowered cholesterol significantly, even the so-called bad cholesterol, there was essentially no reduction in heart attack and stroke risk. The least correlation with lowering cholesterol is with stroke risk. It doesn't seem to have anything to do with it at all. So here was this set of drugs that were being used that were lowering the cholesterol. It had virtually no effect.
Well, you're talking about billions of dollars. You know, I think, what was it, Pfizer made $12.5 billion or something on their drugs. And, I mean, massive amounts of money for drugs that didn't work, and they should have known they didn't work, because all they were doing was lowering the cholesterol, but that wasn't what the problem was.
And that's exactly right. And then the statin drugs were invented, these statin cholesterol-lowering drugs like Crestor and
Lipitor. Right.
Now, when they were invented, suddenly they reported, oh, there's a 31% reduction in heart attack deaths and a 21% or 20% reduction in stroke-related deaths. And they claimed it was all due to lowering cholesterol, and so they made up all of these theories as to why it was working so well. Well, now all the studies are showing that actually statins' protective effect has absolutely nothing to do with lowering cholesterol. It has to do with the fact that statin drugs are anti-inflammatory, and they're antioxidants, and they thin the blood, and they strengthen the cap over the arteriosclerotic plaque. That's the little thing that ruptures that causes you to have a stroke or heart attack. And so it was doing things that had nothing to do with lowering cholesterol.
But was it really increasing the longevity? In other words, there was really a 20 or 30% improvement if you took the drugs?
Well, it was for heart attacks, for heart attack death, and much less for stroke death. But when you looked at it, all-cause mortality, that is, from everything, there was no overall protection. So, you know, we had an explanation why it showed any effect whatsoever. Well, while they're saying, well, 31%, oh, gee, we've had this great success. Well, when you look at the studies in which vitamin C and vitamin E were used in conjunction, you had 40%, 50%, in some studies 60% reduction in cardiac deaths and strokes, dramatically better than with statins. Now, the problem with statins was that they had these horrible side effects. And most of the studies, and even today, most people that take statins take what's considered a low dose. They started out at 10 milligrams and went to 20. Now they're up to 40. And they're saying, well, what we need to do is get up to 80 milligrams. And then at 80 milligrams, we're seeing even better results. Well, the problem is at 80 milligrams, you're seeing these horrible side effects. Death from this muscle disease called rhabdomyolysis. You're seeing severe weakness, incapacity, memory loss, confusion, disorientation, amnesia. A lot of neurological things are being seen. You're seeing increased heart failure. There's been an explosion of heart failure since the statin drugs have been widely used. We now suspect, and there's good evidence to show this, that it's because statin drugs dramatically lower the coenzyme Q10 level in the body, particularly in the heart and in the muscles. This is what's suspected to cause that fatal muscle disease, is the severe lowering of coenzyme Q10. And that's because the very enzyme that this drug suppresses also produces coenzyme Q10. Now, the drug companies knew this from the very beginning. And in fact, in the early days when it first came out and they had it in the PDR, it was recommended that people take coenzyme Q10 with the medication. In fact, they even made forms of it that had CoQ10 included. Well, they decided that would scare the public, so they took that out. So it's no longer in the physician's desk reference. So that physicians are not aware that there's a connection there. It only became general knowledge when people in the nutrition field were publishing so many studies showing that that was the reason they were producing death. And one of the worst of the drugs is called Crestor. And there's a new study out that's being portrayed all through the media as the greatest advanced ever, and that is for the first time we found a drug that actually reverses arteriosclerosis. And they used these very high doses of Crestor to produce the effect, but it's just a very minor reversal. Now, if you look at the studies on things like garlic, it produces dramatic reversal, and that's been measured in humans, not just experimental animals. A special fat called CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, has also been shown to significantly reverse arteriosclerosis. Ellagic acid, quercetin, curcumin, all of these reverse arteriosclerosis. But you never hear about them because you can't write prescriptions and make billions of dollars. The statin drugs recently, the latest tally was they're making $27 billion worldwide off this drug. So they want to keep this cholesterol idea going because most of the physicians are told, well, if a patient comes in and they have any cholesterol level over 200 or their LDL is above 100, then they should be on these statin drugs. And they're saying virtually all diabetics should be on statin drugs. All people who do not exercise regularly should be on statin drugs. And now they're saying all children should be examined, and if they have elevated cholesterol, they should be placed on a statin drug. So if we can, you know, the idea is if they can keep the cholesterol idea going, then doctors will just use that as the standard for writing for the drug. But the results of the big studies, where the 10, 20,000 patients are involved, when the big studies are examined, that's not what they find at all. That it's not related to lowering cholesterol. In fact, the biggest study done on heart attack patients showed that the greatest drops in cholesterol were no better than the moderate drops in cholesterol. So there's no direct correlation between the cholesterol level and the reduction of heart attack and stroke death.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Russell Blaylock. Well, Russell, why don't you pick up the story there? So basically, there's no correlation between reducing cholesterol and cardiac death, and the average doctor doesn't know that. He's told over and over again by the detail men. He's told at his meetings. He's told in his journals, oh, you've got to get them your patients on the statin drugs. And, you know, and the thing is that these have a tremendous potential for harm, even if they didn't do any good. I mean, they certainly, if they were doing good, why, you know, you might be able to accept the harm. But there's harm there, and they're really not doing any good.
Well, for instance, with strokes, you know, the biggest study that they've done in strokes and all of the other smaller studies have shown that actually there's no strong correlation between cholesterol level and having a stroke. And that lowering cholesterol, there's no strong correlation between lowering cholesterol and preventing a stroke. And when you look deeper into the studies and analyze it closely, you find out actually there's no correlation, that it has nothing to do with lowering cholesterol. It's anti-inflammatory effects. It's antioxidant effects. It's thinning the blood, that you get any effect at all. And there's a lot more effective things. For instance, just losing weight, if you lose 11% of your weight, if you're slightly obese, that's a 25% reduction in cardiovascular disease and diabetes death. If you get on the Mediterranean diet, this is a recent study, a Mediterranean diet, and add red wine to that, a glass of red wine a day, it can reduce heart attack and stroke death 79%. That's far greater than this expensive, dangerous drug just by getting on this diet and drinking a glass of wine. Polycythemia, which is a natural product made from sugarcane wax, it significantly elevates the protective HDL cholesterol. Well, interestingly, the new studies, and this has just been released, has shown that it is far more important to raise the HDL than it is to lower the LDL. Well, the statin drugs hardly raise the LDL at all. It's a very, very minor elevation. Now, polycythemia, which is not a drug you can buy at any health food store, it raises the HDL 21 to 28%, dramatically more than you would see with any of these drugs. And they don't want people to know this. Now, other things like exercise raises your HDL. Taking some of the things like the quercetin, the curcumin, a vitamin mixture. They looked at a vitamin mixture and found out that they had a tremendous reduction in this arteriosclerosis in the arteries, the thing that's causing this heart attack and stroke. They mixed vitamin C, E, selenium, zinc, copper, manganese, and N-acetyl-L-cysteine, and they had a 50% reduction in these arteriosclerotic plaques in the arteries. Now, this study with Crestor using this massive dose, I think they had something like a 20% reduction in plaques, nowhere near what you're seeing with just using a mix of vitamins. Yet, there's articles are flying everywhere about this new success story, the only drug ever known to reduce arteriosclerosis, and yet all of these studies that are showing reduction in arteriosclerosis of a much greater degree are not even mentioned in the public press or on the radio or the television. So the public is kept in the dark about this.
In fact, there's so many articles coming out recently saying vitamins really don't do any good. These long-term studies saying vitamin B doesn't influence heart attack at all. Hold it. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and Dr. Blaylock is simply saying that the studies that show the beneficial effects, say, of vitamin C and vitamin E in large series, show a significant decrease in heart attack and strokes, things of that sort, are never mentioned in the public media. And yet when Crestor comes up with a study that shows a minuscule improvement, they just got played up, and the Americans are really being intentionally deceived to believe that Crestor and these other statin drugs are going to help you. And the truth of the matter is that you'll get a lot more benefit from nutritional things than you will from Crestor, and a great deal cheaper.
Well, just to give you an example how they do these so-called studies in which they show vitamins have no effect, I looked at a very famous study you hear quoted all the time called the Atherosclerosis Risk and Community Study, the ARIC study. Now, in that study, what they did is they sent a questionnaire to all of these people, something like 10,000 people, asked them, do you take any kind of vitamin supplement? And that's all they asked. They didn't ask them the dose. They didn't ask them if they took it regularly. They didn't ask them what the vitamin was. And then, so they concluded at the end of the article, there's no evidence that taking vitamins helps reduce this disease. Now, we don't know whether they were taking a calcium Were they just taking a poorly formed vitamin C alone? You know, we don't know what they were taking. Did they just take it once a week or when they think about it? No journal would accept such a study if it hadn't dealt with vitamins. And this is the kind of thing you're seeing, is they're purposely trying to sabotage this because they know the studies that were well done that looked at vitamins and vitamin mixes and other supplements showed dramatic reductions in disease. Now, here's the secret. If you start these things early in life, say when your child is 4 or 5 years old, and you change their diet, and you prevent them from eating these things that we know dramatically increases disease, and you put them on a few supplements, they will never develop a heart attack or a stroke or atherosclerosis of any degree. So you could prevent almost every case of this disease in the United States very simply. And that's what they don't want you to know, because then the pharmaceutical companies are out $27 billion. So, you know, this money's playing big deals. I looked up a couple of studies on an interesting supplement called quercetin, which is a very common flavonoid-type chemical found in most vegetables. They found that quercetin, in concentrated form, when given to these experimental rabbits and fed these high-cholesterol vegetable oil diets, it reduced the arteriosclerosis 3,500%, a dramatic reduction. When they looked at ellagic acid, it was almost as great as a reduction of the atherosclerosis in these vessels. Now, ellagic acid is a thing found in pomegranate juice. It's found in walnut hulls and all sorts. You know, there's a lot of places you can get it, but you can buy it as a supplement. Concentrated purified supplement. Curcumin, which is a very common supplement to find, reduced arteriosclerosis over 50% in very small doses. They use extremely tiny doses of curcumin. Now, curcumin now is under intense study because it's been shown that it also dramatically reduces the risk of Alzheimer's disease. It's very protective of the brain. It promotes healing. It's a powerful antioxidant. It's a powerful anti-inflammatory. Reduces joint pain. And it's under intensive study by numerous specialties, but you never hear about it. And you never hear about it because the pharmaceutical companies are controlling most of the mass media because they advertise on the big networks and all the magazines. And so they don't want these things known publicly, so they use their power and influence and money to try to keep this information suppressed. But we know now that there's just a whole list of things that will dramatically reduce a person's risk of ever developing these diseases. And when you mix them together, that's the beauty of it. When you mix them together, you get a very profound protective effect. Now, just go through the list of things that's known to lower cholesterol levels and reduce inflammation and prevent arteriosclerosis. Things like inositol, hexaniacinate. Krill oil, zinc, magnesium, omega-3 oils, quercetin, curcumin, ellagic acid, CLA, selenium. All these things are just extremely protective. And this is the things they don't want you to know about.
Well, you know, it's very hard, I think, for the average individual to believe that anybody could, you know, not want people to be healthy. But I've been in this game for a long time, and when I was involved in the battle for AIDS, you know, I thought it would be logical to use a standard public health technique to stop the epidemic. And I realized there were people who didn't want to stop the epidemic. 500,000 Americans are dead. Another million are infected. 30 or more million dead throughout the world. How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? I don't think it was unintentional at all. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and we're talking about arteriosclerosis. We're talking about vegetable oils. And, of course, I can remember when they came out years ago and they said, you've got to get off of butter. You've got to get on to margarine because that's how you're going to protect yourself. You're not going to get the strokes and the heart attacks if you just get away from the butter. And so, you know, everybody did. And we were taking the vegetable oil products – and getting all sorts of problems. Actually, we were far worse off than if we'd used some of the things that were more natural. Pick up the story there, Russell.
Well, that's exactly right. And the interesting thing is, you know, they started this back in the 30s and 40s. And here it is, 2006, and yet despite the fact that almost everybody has been eating foods in 1930s, 1940, but we don't. So, you know, that was a major clue. Now, in my researches, what I've discovered, and which is all through the medical literature, I mean, this is in the scientific literature, is that at the base of this is magnesium deficiency. When you look at what happens when you take experimental animals and you put them on a low magnesium diet, they develop rampant atherosclerosis, heart attacks and strokes. When you take an animal and feed them a low magnesium diet, so they're hardly getting any magnesium, and then you feed them cholesterol and vegetable oils, they really get rampant atherosclerosis. Now, when you take humans and you do the same thing happens. In fact, in humans who are on low magnesium blood levels and tissue levels, the first thing happens is their HDL cholesterol falls, their LDL, or the so-called bad cholesterol, goes up, their total cholesterol level goes up, their triglyceride levels go up, and once you replace that magnesium, all of those things correct themselves. Now, we know one thing that's connected to atherosclerosis, the central cause of it, is inflammation in the wall of the blood vessel. What we didn't know for a long time is, well, what's causing that? Well, we know that if you lower magnesium, it dramatically increases inflammation throughout your entire body, including the walls of the vessel, but particularly the vessel wall.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Russell Balog. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Russell Balog, and he's saying that one of the things they found is that much of the fat metabolism and abnormal fat metabolism is tied to magnesium, and if you feed people, you know, certainly a magnesium-deficient diet, they get into very real problems. You know, as far as their arteries are concerned, if you give them an adequate magnesium diet, you can actually reverse the process that is leading to rampant arteriosclerosis. So please pick the story up there. First of all, though, do most people have magnesium-deficient diets today?
Yeah, there was a very large study that was done on something like 10,000 people that were supposedly healthy. And they found that 75% of them were deficient in their magnesium intake, and that about two-thirds of those, it was a severe deficiency. It's particularly severe in young people because they drink a lot of carbonated sodas. Carbonated sodas dramatically lower your magnesium level. All diabetics have severe magnesium deficiency. That's well known in the field of diabetes. It's also well known in the field of cardiology that all cardiology patients have low magnesium levels. In fact, I had a friend of mine who's a cardiovascular surgeon, and I gave a lecture on magnesium to the cardiovascular surgeons and cardiologists. And he stood up and he said, you know, magnesium is our biggest problem in cardiovascular surgery, because when we operate on these patients, their magnesium level falls to such dramatic low levels it's almost impossible to elevate it. And I said, that's because they go into the operation severely deficient in magnesium. And so you're trying to play catch-up. Now, magnesium is not a ion that mainly exists in the blood. It exists in the tissues, in the organs and tissues of the body. 99% of magnesium is inside of tissues. Only 1% is in the blood. Now, doctors, what they do is they go get a blood level of magnesium. Well, that doesn't really tell you what's in the tissues. You can be severely deficient in your tissues and have a normal blood level. Now, when we look at what happens when you lower magnesium, it begins to cause the heart to fail. So we look at congestive heart failure patients. They all have low cardiac magnesium levels. They've measured the magnesium in the heart muscle itself, and they consistently find low magnesium. They've also biopsied the arteries in people who've had a heart attack that have been operated on, and they find the same thing, extremely low magnesium levels in the wall of their blood vessels. And another study that looked at the arteries in autopsy of people who had severe arteriosclerosis, They all had extremely low magnesium in the wall of their blood vessel. So being that magnesium prevents inflammation, it is important for the function of what we call the endothelial cell, which is the cell lining your blood vessels, which is very important and plays a major role in this disorder. Magnesium is important for the health of that cell. So we know from all of our studies, and this is thousands of articles, thousands of studies, that magnesium is absolutely essential to good health of all your heart, arteries, blood vessels, and that's what is of most importance. Now, to show how important magnesium is, they did a study with trans fatty acids, and they found if you fed an animal trans fatty acids but kept the magnesium level high, they didn't develop arteriosclerosis. If you fed them the trans fatty acids and you lowered their magnesium, they developed rampant arteriosclerosis. So it shows that even in diets that have these bad fats, magnesium can be highly protective. But unfortunately, the average American diet is extremely low in magnesium because magnesium is mostly found in fruits and vegetables. It's far less in the average things that people are eating, french fries and hamburgers and cheese and these sort of things. Now, another study that dramatically demonstrated this, they did a study of arteries of over 400,000 cattle that were eating grasses that were high in magnesium. None of the cattle had arteriosclerosis. Then they got a group of cattle that were eating grain that was low in magnesium, and when they examined their arteries, they had rampant arteriosclerosis. Then they looked at little calves, the newborns, and they found that if the newborns were deficient in magnesium in their food and drank the milk of another cow, they developed early changes to arteriosclerosis and advanced rather rapidly. So we see that the key in all of this is your magnesium level. Yet doctors know very little about magnesium and rarely give it to their patients.
And because I was just thinking when we started talking about this a few months ago, the only thing I really knew about magnesium was milk of magnesia for bowel problems and of course magnesium sulfate given intravenously to eclamptic women about to deliver a child who were convulsing and having high blood pressure. But, you know, in all the years I practiced medicine, nobody ever talked about magnesium.
Exactly right. In fact, there's an article that had a really great title. It was titled Magnesium, the Forgotten Element. I've read several articles, clinical articles, in the medical journals in which they talk about diabetics, that all diabetics are severely deficient in magnesium, yet doctors never give it to them. They'll have them in the hospital with severe diabetic complications and hang an IV on them and never put magnesium in the IV. Yet despite all of these articles appearing in medical journals, it really hasn't changed anything. I used a lot of magnesium in my neurosurgical practice because it's so powerfully protective of the brain. You could give it to brain trauma patients and they would have dramatic improvement. You could give it to aneurysm patients, all these severe neurological disorders, and you would see some dramatic improvements in these patients. And that's because they go into this state, this trauma or whatever happens to them, severely deficient in magnesium, and that greatly magnifies the damage. For instance, some of the studies showed that if you took an animal and you tied off the artery going to part of the brain so that they'd have a stroke, if you made that animal magnesium deficient and tied off the artery, they would have a very large stroke. But if you replaced the magnesium and tied off the artery, the stroke would be about half the size or less than the animal that had the deficient magnesium. So you can reduce significantly the amount of brain damage in a stroke by just having magnesium in your diet regularly. They found the same thing in heart attack patients, that the amount of heart muscle damage by tying off one of these arteries is dramatically reduced if you just give them magnesium. And there's growing evidence that this epidemic of sudden cardiac death we're seeing now, particularly in young people, young athletes that suddenly drop dead with this heart arrhythmia where the heart's not beating normally, that is very closely tied to magnesium deficiency. And we know in experimental animals, if you lower their magnesium and then you exercise them, a large number of them will die. We know that if you do the same thing, lower their magnesium, and you frighten the animal, it's almost 100% mortality. But if you add the magnesium back and frighten them, none of them die. So, you know, when we look in the human situation where people are commonly magnesium deficient and they exert themselves or overexert themselves or they're frightened by something, it's very easy for them to die suddenly. I'm not really surprised we're seeing this tremendous increase in death. But the medical establishment's answer to this is, we need to have defibrillators at all the ball games. And nobody's telling them, you need to tell all of these players they need to start taking magnesium supplements if they're going to play these strenuous sports.
Well, now, how should they be taking this? Should they be taking a magnesium citrate?
The magnesium citrate, and they should be taking about 1,000 milligrams a day in divided doses.
Okay, 1,000 milligrams. Now, what about for an older person like me?
Well, an older person can, too. If you have, your normal heart, normal kidneys at the time, you can take 1,000 milligrams a day. If you have bad kidney function where your kidneys aren't working well, then the problem is you can't clear excess magnesium and you may get too high a level. And if you have what's called a heart block, where the nerves in the heart are not conducting impulses properly, if you give very large doses of magnesium, it can interfere with the heart block, but usually oral, it's not going to bother you. So for the majority of people that aren't seriously ill from either kidney disease or heart block, they can take 1,000 milligrams a day. At least everybody, other than the severe kidney patient, can take 500 milligrams a day because it's going to improve heart function. This is shown, I don't know in how many studies, you dramatically improve the efficiency of the heartbeat, which you can pump blood easier. The heart muscle is healthier and it's protected against heart attack. So people just are not aware of these studies that have been done, and it's been known for at least 20 years. I mean, it's not new information. It's just a lot more new information because we're finding out exactly how it does it now.
And where is the Centers for Disease Control here as far as supposedly responsible for our health? And the National Institute of Health, they seem to be more interested in getting out on more new statin drugs and in letting people know that these natural remedies are there and can be extremely beneficial.
No, their response is to pass laws trying to outlaw all supplements. The Codex laws, they're trying to make it where you can't have access to any supplement, even simple vitamin C above a certain dose. So the response is to take all of these supplements and protected things away from the American public so you will be absolutely dependent on the pharmaceutical companies and the government for your very survival. Because you're not going to have ways to reduce your risk any longer. And that's exactly what they want.
Well, now, somebody's called in wanted to know about canola oil. Would canola oil fit into the vegetable oils?
Yeah, and canola oil has also been shown to do this as well. And canola oil does increase inflammation.
What about olive oil? What about coconut oil?
Now, olive oil reduces inflammation if it's extra virgin olive oil. It's a monounsaturated fat, which means it doesn't oxidize very easily. But also the natural oil, the extra virgin oil, has a lot of vegetable chemicals in it called flavonoids that are powerful antioxidants and powerful anti-inflammatories, and they reduce cancer. So the extra virgin olive oil is highly protective. And it's suspected that that's why people in Sicily and the island of Crete have such a dramatically low heart attack risk, despite the fact they smoke like chimneys. They're some of the worst smokers in the world, yet their heart attack and stroke rate's far below anybody else's.
Well, is that sort of the Mediterranean diet then, going along with that?
Yeah, they eat a Mediterranean diet, and they consume a lot of extra virgin olive oil, fish oils, and a lot of vegetables, and this is highly, highly protective. But these are things they don't want you to know. But if we start our children on it, they'll never get into this situation.
And I think this really is such important information, and I hope all of our listeners, will take heed, and if you'd like to get copies of the tapes of this program or other programs on these subjects, you need to get them. You need to learn about these things, ladies and gentlemen, because your health is your responsibility. And of course, once you've had a severe heart attack or stroke, why, there's no second chance many times.
You know, there's an interesting study that was done on monosodium glutamate, MSG, the food additive. And they found MSG dramatically increased free radical generation in the walls of blood vessels. Well, that's exactly what is happening to produce atherosclerosis. They also found in this study that the MSG dramatically lowered the antioxidants that normally exist in the wall of the blood vessel to protect it. And our studies consistently are showing that if you lower those antioxidants in the wall of the blood vessel, then it's very easy to produce atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries and heart attacks and strokes. So here's a food additive that's added to our food in terms of tons of it every year in all kinds of disguised forms, natural flavoring, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, soy protein extract, caseinate. All of those are disguised names for MSG. We have this solid evidence that shows it produces the same effect in the walls of blood vessels as producing the disease. Yet no one's saying, well, gee, we need to get MSG out of the food. And so we have all of these things combined together, the low magnesium, the high MSG, the trans fatty acids, the vegetable oils. All of these things are being added to the food, and the government's protecting and telling people, yes, you need more of that, you need the margarines, you need the corn oils, and it's killing millions of people. Even in the field of cancer, we know that these oils make cancer grow a lot faster. In experimental animals, if you give them a human cancer, implant a human cancer in the animal, and you feed them corn oil, that cancer will just grow like wildfire. And it spreads all over the animal. So we know that these oils promote cancer growth. We also know that MSG, the glutamate in MSG, dramatically increases a number of cancers to grow faster. For instance, we know breast cancer grows faster in the presence of MSG. Uterine cancers, ovarian cancers, brain cancers in particular, like a glioblastoma, grows like crazy in the presence of glutamate. Yet no one's telling cancer patients, gee, you should avoid these things. That it's going to make your cancer incurable. That it's going to make your cancer spread faster. No one's saying this. So when you combine these vegetable oils with MSG in a cancer patient, you're almost giving them a death warrant. Nobody's telling you.
Well, I don't think the average oncologist has any idea what you're actually telling us tonight.
They don't. In fact, I gave a lecture before a large audience and had several doctors out there, and one was an oncologist. And she came up to me after the talk and said, you know, I told about the glutamate making cancers grow so fast. She said, well, I never heard that. Nobody told me to do that. And I said, well, it's in your journal. I said, I got this out of the Journal of Oncology. And several other oncology journals that are for clinically practicing cancer specialists. I said, so it's in your journal, you just didn't read it. And well, she said, well, nobody told me to do it. And I said, well, you know, you're not a child. Nobody has to tell you to do it. Read your journals and find out what's the latest research.
But, doctors, they mean well, but they're so busy, and you got so much to do, and there's just such a volume of material. And unfortunately, if the leaders of your field are not pointing in the right direction, it's pretty hard to keep up with all of these things. I know, in orthopedics, you sort of went to these meetings to try to get the important things that be brought out so that you could practice better medicine. But if they didn't tell you why, then you went right ahead making the same mistakes over and over again.
That's right. And you know, this is supposedly the purpose of your specialty board. I mean, like the American Board of Neurosurgeons. Their job is to digest this stuff and tell their members, hey, gee, this is important. You're treating brain tumors. You should know this. But they don't do that.
I know. Well, there's so much they don't know. They don't know. I'm sure they don't tell them about the fact the relationship between, say, Nutrasweet aspartame and brain tumors. That actually, in animals, it dramatically increases the incidence of brain tumors, doesn't it?
Exactly. And they knew it from the very beginning, even before it was approved.
Yeah, and Donald Rumsfeld knew it. He was the guy who got it approved. Good old
exactly.
Rummy. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up the program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Russell, we got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what is the final message you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, what people need to do is they need to start exploring and listening and find out about these things. You know, I publish a newsletter. I try to keep people up to date with all these new findings. And I digest a lot of articles and studies to write one of these newsletters. It's not just based on a single study. Each newsletter goes through as many as 100 articles to write it. So, you know, you need to find information like that that goes deep into these subjects and gives you access, you know, give you access to this information, because it's something that's going to save your life.
And certainly we take the Blaylock Lesser. It's put out by Newsmax. And do you have a telephone number where people can contact them and get the newsletter?
Well, I have the website is www.blaylockreport.com, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K, report.com.
All right, blaylockreport.com, and I look forward to getting it every month. It's fascinating material on many, many different subjects. One time it might be fluoride, the next time it might be vitamins, the next time it might be the four nutrients that you need and that have a powerful effect on your life, and certainly all sorts of things that everybody needs to know. Well, Russell, I really want to thank you for that. And certainly what you're suggesting is that most people need to be on a magnesium supplement. And yet there's probably, unless they listen to programs like this, most people have no idea.
Exactly right. And I thank you, Dr. Stan. It's quite an opportunity.
Well, I know our listeners out there across America appreciate the fact you come on, especially late at night, and just to keep them abreast. And, of course, this program will be gone to about 30 stations, and so an awful lot of people are going to hear the message, and hopefully they'll heed and they'll start making the plans, and at least we can reach a few people, because the devastation that comes with a stroke or with a heart attack unnecessarily is hard to justify. And you have to ask yourself why it is that the people in the National Institute of Health and the Centers for Disease Control and the U.S. Public Health Service, supposedly the guardians of the health, are not telling the doctors and not telling the people. But that's a subject for another evening. Well, we'll really look forward to having you back again. Hopefully we'll get you back again this coming month.
Well, thank you, Stan, and God bless you and everybody in the audience.
Good night. God bless you, too. All right, fine. Well, that was Dr. Russell Blaylock, and hope you enjoyed the program. And of course, we'd like to get Russell on a regular basis, and I think we're going to put together a four-tape set on the miracle of magnesium. I think it's so vitally important, and so many of the other issues that we have, we put together the four tapes on, sets on, so that you'll know what to do. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and for those of you who enjoyed the program this evening, if you'd like to, of course, get a copy of the tape, you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have a book called The Miracle of Magnesium by Dr. Carolyn Dean that covers a lot of what we've heard tonight, although there's a great deal that Dr. Blaylock has come up with that's not even in that book. And I really think we'll be putting together a four-tape set on magnesium. The information you need to know, because if 75% or more of our population is deficient in this vitally important mineral, you're going to have to start looking after your own health and health matters. So this is an important issue. Dr. Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, summarizes so much of what you need to know. We carry the book. His book on natural strategies for cancer patients is certainly, if you know anybody going into chemotherapy or radiation, I will tell you, we've heard personal comments from people whose relatives have undertaken the chemotherapy. And, of course, when you do that, your hair falls out, you get deathly ill. But, people have told me that when they followed Dr. Blaylock's suggestions, they have not gotten deathly ill. In fact, the oncologist can't believe that they're as healthy as they are. Anyway, if you'd like to, go ahead and get those books. Why, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And of course, Dr. Blaylock's third book is entitled Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. That's Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. That was the first book he wrote. But it's such an important book because NutraSweet, aspartame, and MSG are excitotoxins. They're neurodestructive. They produce damage to the neurological system. Oh, they have a profound impact on the taste. MSG makes things taste awfully good because it stimulates, it overstimulates the brain. And it can produce all sorts of problems, not only as far as the brain is concerned, but growing of cancer. And you really need to understand the danger. They knew how dangerous these things were when they actually released them. And the question is, why would they do that? Well, maybe you need to get my talk on planned population reduction. Planned population reduction is available on video or DVD. And you have to understand that we have too many old people in America. We don't have enough younger people to take care of them in 11 years. Why? The Social Security system begins to actually put out more than it's taking in. And at that point, the United States is well on the way to bankruptcy. What are you going to do with all these elderly people? You promised to take care of them. Well, if there are not so many older people, it's not going to be such a problem, is it? People say nobody could be that crass and indifferent. I would simply point out, when was the last time you heard, the public health officials tell every elderly person that they needed to get an influenza shot, knowing full well that it increases the incidence of Alzheimer's disease 1,000%? And if you'd like the documentation on that, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Think about getting the items we've talked about. Go to our website of radioliberty.com. And then pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you on the same station, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, or the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And well, we were supposed to have had a good friend, Ralph Epperson, here. We were going to talk about his book entitled Senator Jesse James. It's the story of Jesse James and the fact that he staged his death. Is it possible this is really true? Well, it's an amazing story, but you're not going to get a chance to hear it tonight. We'll have to have Ralph on some other place because apparently there was a mix-up. I talked to him, scheduled the program, and then, well, he's not available. So it's just going to be you and me. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, I'm wondering, perhaps we ought to talk about population control. We alluded to that at the end of the last program, and this has certainly always been something I've been very, very concerned with, and it came as such a revelation to me to realize that there really are people who feel there are too many people in the world and they would like to kill off the vast majority of them. I rejected that idea in my own mind. I could not accept that for a number of years, and when I was involved with a battle to try to address the AIDS epidemic as a public health issue and save lives here in America, predominantly homosexual lives, and every possible barrier was put in the way to block the implementation of the effective public health approaches that would save the lives of homosexuals and blacks and other people who are getting this disease, because this disease has a predilection specifically for blacks. Of course, I believe that it got into the homosexuals in the hepatitis B vaccine that was given just about 10 years after Dr. David MacArthur went before the United States House of Representatives, a special committee on appropriations for the military, and that was in May of 1969. And Dr. David MacArthur asked for $10 million to create a new disease for which there'd be no immune response. In other words, the body would not be able to fend this new disease off. It would be destructive to the immune system. And he said that some people think this is, we shouldn't do this because it's another means of mass killing, but we want the money. And then it was about, he said it would take him 10 years to develop it. And about 10 years later, in 1979, when the first cases of AIDS began to show up. Now, it wasn't identified as AIDS. You just, in San Francisco, you saw a lot of young homosexuals with no immunity developing Kaposi's sarcoma and other diseases, but nobody really understood what it was. And of course, it just happened to be predominantly in homosexuals who had taken an experimental hepatitis B vaccine. And actually, we followed this along. In fact, one reason I thought this was going to be such a terrible disease that was going to break out into the general community was because it was, you know, the rapid rise in the homosexuals. We figured it would be the same in the heterosexuals without realizing that all the evidence is it was in the vaccine. 75% of the homosexuals who took the vaccine developed AIDS. And in Africa, it was exactly the same. It was in the areas where they took the experimental hepatitis B vaccine. I think there were 6 or 8 areas. And that's why in some areas of Africa you have so much disease, and in other areas you don't. Well, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Dan calling from Texas. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I really appreciate your program, Stan. I listen to them a lot, and they're really very helpful.
Whereabouts do you live?
In Pasadena, Texas.
What's that close to?
Right outside of Houston.
Oh, okay. Okay, fine. Do you listen on the Internet?
On shortwave, 5860.
Okay, great.
My question is, my concern has been about age for some time. I'm a physician, and I was just concerned with whether there actually is a specific viral particle, or is this some sort of binary instrument in which you get part of it in one medium and then through some other process, maybe it's a mycoplasma or some something else. Is it a binary two-stage process, or is there actually, since we've never been able to actually isolate a virus for AIDS, I wonder what your feeling is on that.
It's a binary. Basically, one of the best analysis of this, first of all, would be Len Horowitz's book, Emerging Viruses. But as far as the binary part of it, let me suggest the book by Dr. Garth Nicholson. I don't know. Do you know who Nicholson was?
Yes, I've listened to him on your program several times.
All right. Well, he has a book called, Project Daylily, L-I-L-Y, because that was the name of the government project that created these terrible new diseases. And it's an HIV. There is an HIV virus, but it appears to be a genetically modified virus. In other words, it's an alteration of the normal retrovirus, and they put a specific gene on there, and they have that same gene on a mycoplasma fermentis. And of course, this makes it much more pathological and invasive. So it is a combination in almost all of the, you're talking about 80 to 90% of the AIDS cases will have this mycoplasma fermentis. They will have the HIV, but that's not what kills them. It destroys the immune system, and then opens them up to the mycoplasma, and that's what gets them.
Well, I really appreciate that. I don't know how they could come up with a vaccine for something if it's a binary agent. That's why I was wondering. I really appreciate all your good work and the things you're doing. Thanks very much. God bless you.
Well, thank you so very much. Good to talk to you, Dan. Okay, let's go to Tony calling from Escondido. And again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Hey, this kind of rolls into your program last hour. I didn't hear a whole lot on HDL levels. I know there's two different types of cholesterol, HDL and LDL. Is there any sense in trying to pursue some sort of a natural supplement to try to build your body's production of HDL, the high-density lipid?
Now, this is not really what the problem is. This whole thing is a scam to take you away from. And if you listen to Dr. Blaylock's program, and this will be archived so you can actually listen to it again, but what he's pointing out is that the initial studies, and I can remember these being shown in medical school in rabbits, and they fed rabbits cholesterol, and they got this rampant arteriosclerosis. And so then they took away the cholesterol, and the arteriosclerosis went away. And so they said, it's obviously cholesterol. What they'd never told anybody is that the cholesterol was dissolved in these vegetable oils, canola, other similar vegetable oils. And so if they took the cholesterol out and just fed them the vegetable oils, they got the rampant arteriosclerosis. They fed them cholesterol alone, they didn't get it. So it has nothing to do primarily with cholesterol. It has to do with the trans fatty acids. That's where the real problem is, and that's the point that he's making. And what is the government doing, and why it's telling you to go ahead and eat these? It's been, I can remember, it said, get off of butter, start eating margarine. The worst thing you could possibly do. And so basically what they've done is, this whole thing is a scam. This is not a matter of fat. It has to do with inflammation in the blood vessels. It has to do with magnesium. If you're taking vitamin C and vitamin E and magnesium, well, you're going to cut down dramatically on your incidence of arteriosclerosis.
So vitamin E, vitamin C, and magnesium.
And then staying away, of course, what you really want to do is stay away from these trans fatty acids. And if you're on a vegetarian diet, you're not going to get the arteriosclerosis.
All right, well, thank you.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you. And let's go to Mike, who's calling from Minnesota. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. How are you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you doing, Dr. Stewart?
Doing just great.
All right, good evening. And I want to just say that I listen to your show all the time whenever I can. And, it's 11 o'clock where I am now, so it's only 9 o'clock where you are.
Right.
But, I love the message you're sending out. You're exactly accurate. And, I don't know if people realize, the great job you're doing in putting things out. And it's the truth. But, the question I had was, there's a new article out by, I think Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and now it appears as though they're going to add squalene to the flu vaccine.
Heaven help us.
Yeah, I know. And they're already doing it in Europe, according to our article. And I don't know. Do people know how dangerous this is?
Maybe none of them do.
If you could alert at least your listeners to it, I think that would be a big help.
Well, let me just simply point out that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's latest article, you can pull it off the Internet at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And it is excellent, but it was really frightening when she talked about squalene, because basically what they do when they make a vaccine, they add something called an adjuvant. And an adjuvant makes it work more efficiently. Now, the traditional adjuvant has been alum or aluminum hydroxide. The trouble is that not only is aluminum hydroxide not good for you, it'd be injected because it goes to your brain and certainly is one of the factors in Alzheimer's disease, but it really did not, if you analyze very carefully, the people who took their influenza vaccine, the people who didn't, they found out it did almost no good. I mean, you're talking maybe 1% or 2% maybe helped. So then they said, well, gee, you know, if it's not doing any good, what we're going to have to do is make it stronger. So they talked about using squalene. Now, squalene creates an autoimmune disease. And we have a wonderful book. It's called Vaccine A. We have a 4-tape set on Vaccine A, and it goes into what they did to our boys in the first Gulf War. And they gave them experimental vaccines, and so many of the young men who came back who had Gulf War illness had taken these experimental vaccines. And we're talking about at least 100,000, if not several hundred thousand, are ill with these autoimmune diseases. So they know squalene will do that. Now, squalene is an oil. And actually, in the early, I guess it was the late 1940s, why they did an experiment on about 40,000 American troops, and they gave them, I think it was, as I remember, a flu vaccine with a mineral oil in it, just to see what would happen. And so many of them developed neurological problems and incapacity that they eventually quit using it. But, I mean, it had a disastrous effect. Squalene has never been authorized to be used, you know, other than in experimental vaccines, and they gave it to our boys over there, and they've destroyed all the shot records, and they've destroyed the lives of probably close to 200,000 of our Gulf War veterans, first Gulf War. And now they want to put it in the influenza vaccine. Anybody who takes this new influenza vaccine really needs to get their head examined.
Exactly. See, that's the point, and you've got it. You just said it. They know exactly what it will do. It's no accident. It's an intentional attack upon the people of America. And if they don't wise up, they will die.
Well, all we can do, Mike, is reach the people that God wants us to. And I mean, we have a small listening audience of 60 stations every week, and we keep getting the same message out. I'm surprised that people keep listening, because a lot of time it's repetitive, but we just need to keep hammering away at these basic things.
Well, and I do that. I tell people a lot of the things you say, and I recommend your website all the time. But you know what? When you get into people's comfort zones, you'll get viciously attacked.
I know, but people
don't want to be budged out of their comfort zone, but I keep trying anyway.
But, Mike, that's your job. Your job is not to convince them. Your job is to tell them. And they may reject what you say, but they're going to think about it. Because the other side does this all the time. They plant ideas in our minds, and pretty soon they plant them, and often enough, why they become our reality. But we need to do the same thing. We need to plant ideas, and maybe they'll hear you say it, and then maybe they'll hear somebody else say the same thing, and they'll say, gee, I've heard that before. And then something may happen, like, oh, we're seeing this massive invasion of our country by illegal aliens, and it really doesn't make any sense.
That's a done deal.
I know, of course it is, but it is simply one of the stepping stones on the way to the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. That's why George Bush supports it, because he has no loyalty to America. That's why he doesn't care about sending our boys over to Iraq to be killed there. He has no loyalty to America. It's a wonderful diversion, as he can then, of course, keep our attention over there as he betrays us here at home.
Yeah.
And they've already made the decision. In fact, there's a book put out by the Council on Foreign Relations, Building a North American Community. I got a copy of it just the other day, and it just talks about how they're going to take down all border controls so that anybody can come back and forth across the border. And, you know, not only to Mexico, but to Canada as well. In other words, they're going to begin this as the first step in uniting the Northern Hemisphere. George Bush and Vicente Fox know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know, and your job is to tell them whether they believe you or not. Don't get discouraged.
No, I'm not discouraged. And in fact, I have a niece of mine who recently joined the Army Reserves. I didn't hear about it until it was too late. And I said to her father, I said, why didn't you let me talk to her? I said, you know, anybody who participates in a war is merely a pawn in a game that they don't understand. And, but, you know, her dad tried to tell her that too, and she thinks he's crazy because she was in ROTC at college, and she's buying into all the brainwashing. So the sadness continues on and on and on. But that doesn't mean I won't keep trying. I will. And I really appreciate the job you're doing. You need to know that. That's why I called in tonight, mostly to talk to you. You are amazing. You're on the radio 5 hours a day and telling the truth every hour of it. You can't even get 5 minutes on mainstream TV of honesty, not even 5 seconds.
Well,
I really appreciate the job you're doing, and I'm going to keep on trying to tip off all the people I can where I am.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And the important thing, if you're out there listening and you're like Mike and you tend to get a little discouraged, believe me, there are literally thousands of people who listen to these programs and are busy telling others who are telling others who are telling others, and we are reaching people. And I got a letter just today from some fellow in New York who'd been given a copy of my book by somebody else, and he'd read the book, and he recognized that there was an element of truth in it. And, you know, as people begin to understand that we're not simply involved in a political battle, we're not simply involved in an ideological battle, we're involved in a spiritual battle, and that's what it's really all about. And once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Well, let's go to George, who's calling from SoCal. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'm good. My question is this. I go to high school, and I have a teacher, and he's really liberal and socialist. And whenever a topic comes up, such as, you know, socialism and distribution of wealth, he says how good it's going to be, and, you know, for the economy and for everyone else. And I've always wondered how I should respond to a comment like that.
Well, I'll tell you what time I was, this is many years ago, I was asked to go up to the University of California. They never invite me to go there anymore, but this is up in the hill where you know that is because you live here in Santa Cruz, but I was invited to go to this class, and there were about 20 children there, and I was going to talk about, you know, my philosophy and how we had to limit the power of government, and as I'm talking to these young people, they're dedicated to socialism. They believe that if the government provides for the health, education, and welfare of the people, everything would be far better. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering, why am I wasting my time? And I looked over, and I saw one of the young men, and he was obviously Mexican. He had high cheekbones. And I suddenly, you know, I think that sometimes God intervenes and tells me what to say. And I said, now, let me get this straight. You all believe that the government should provide for the health of the people? And everybody shook their heads. And everybody's, the government should provide for the education of everybody? And everybody shook their head. And the welfare the government should provide? I said, you know, there's one group of people here in the United States that the government's provided for the health and education and welfare for 100 years. But you really want to raise the living standards of the average American to that of the American Indian? And you know, those kids could suddenly understand that they carried my valise out to the car and they shook hands with me. And you know, I've never been asked to go back on the campus again.
Well,
so you have to understand that if the system doesn't work, look at Russia. They had socialism in Russia, and it just didn't work. What was wrong with Russia? They'll tell you, oh, it wasn't real socialism. Sure it was. Socialism, well, hang on, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest is George, and we're talking about how do you deal with the people who say, if the government could simply just provide for everybody, everything would be fine. And, of course, socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work without force. Somebody is going to have to be in control. Now, where are you going to find people who are so honest that you can really give them power over other people's lives? And you know, if men were angels, why you wouldn't need government? And if men are not angels, why would you want to give any one group power over other people? Russia was an example of socialism. It did not work. I mean, look and see what's going on here in the United States today. Look and see what happened when the federal government went down to New Orleans to help the people there. Look what FEMA did. They kept out the supplies. They did everything they could to make things worse. How could you possibly do such a poor job unintentionally? They gave everybody, a credit card with $2,000 on it, and they went out and were gambling and, using it for hookers. And now they're giving people their $150,000 to build their home, but they're not giving it to a bank to be used to rebuild the home. They're just giving them the money, and they can go out and do whatever they want to with it. I mean, and of course, what's happening is government never spends money logically. Because it is not their money. When you spend your money, you're concerned about it. When you're spending somebody else's money, you're really not concerned. But what's really wrong with socialism, and what your instructor really doesn't understand, is that America was formed as a free society where the power of the government was to be restricted over the lives of the people. In other words, you limit the power of government and people could be free, yes. There would be injustice in that society, but most people are pretty good people that will tend to help one another. Nobody died of lack of medical care in America before we had Medicare and Medicaid. Every county had a county hospital. I worked in those county hospitals. The doctors came, gave their time for nothing, and we always had to fight to get the money, but we took good care of those patients. Nobody died of lack of medical care at that time. But, you know, there is coming a time very, very soon, as there is in Canada today, where you can't get your heart bypass done. I mean, they put you on a list, and you may very well die before you ever get there. And even more so over in Great Britain, where they try this system. It just doesn't work, because people take advantage of it, and there's not enough money to provide whatever the people need. So eventually you begin to get short in money, and you just can't get any health care. In Russia and in the Eastern European countries, as far as health care was concerned when it was free, you had to bribe the nurse. You had to bribe the doctor. You had to bribe the hospital administrator. That's the way the system worked.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And socialism really doesn't work. So, I mean, the thing is that somebody is going to be in control when you have a socialist system. And really here in the United States, what so many of the liberals don't understand is that this whole idea of socialism, going all the way back to Karl Marx, already has been funded by people of great wealth who wanted to change the structure of our society and get away from a limited government where people could be free to a totally authoritarian government where everything is controlled by a ruling elite. And the fact that they really don't understand that, they do not understand who it is who's financing the communist and socialist movement. That's covered in a book we carry called Foundations, Their Power and Influence, one of the five most important books in my library. And if you'd like to come up sometime, we'd be glad to take a look. Let you take a look at it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is not with us, so we're going to talk to Roger from Pennsylvania. But our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I guess we're going to be doing sort of an open line this evening because we don't have anything prepared. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And Roger from Pennsylvania, how are you doing, Roger?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Stan. And your last comment kind of reminded me of, as I've heard attributed to Otto von Bismarck and then a whole slew of others, and I'm totally confused, but roughly anyone who's not a socialist by the time they're 20 doesn't have a heart, and anyone still a socialist by the time they're 30 doesn't have a brain.
Well, I think that it's also been attributed to Winston Churchill, and of course, this is simply to confuse you. Socialism has nothing to do with helping people. It has to do with enslaving them and turning from a free society to a feudalist society. And this is what it really is. With any government that can provide whatever you need has to be able to take whatever you have. And a government that can divide for you from the cradle to the grave has to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And the people who are pushing socialism are really, of course, at heart fascists.
Hey, the reason I called is you're, of course, as usual, remiss in plugging your previous, 4 or 5 hours ago, starting, or 6 hours ago, your earlier frequencies for the World Banders, and even the local folks, if they happen to be out of town, might know that they continue in nationwide pretty much, hopefully. Anyway, that earlier frequency, I have you down as 9.840 megahertz.
That's right. That's a program that's from 3 to 5 Pacific time or 6 to 8 on the East Coast.
Yeah, and I did have trouble with the first of those 2 hours, and presumably it's the same freak, though. And also, the other RBN shows on the network here have changed to, and that's starting about around noon in the afternoon Eastern, at 11.920 is the change. And then after 6 p.m. they go to 50-50. It's kind of a mixed bag. I don't agree with everything. But there's a lot of really good shows, including through the weekends, or Saturdays anyway.
Well, I'm certainly glad to know that. And as you know, this program is broadcast on both my little network, Radio Liberty, and, of course, on RBN. And we certainly appreciate the opportunity to be on with them. We think John Setmiller is doing a great job.
Well, God bless Stan the Magnificent, and take care.
Well, I don't know about Stan the Magnificent, but God bless you too, Roger.
Bye-bye. I'm entitled to my opinion.
All right, fine. All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you have a question, a comment, you agree, you disagree, why, let us know. But the real problem that we face today is most people don't want to hear the truth. In fact, I got a very nice letter from a lady today who said, you know, you all the time you talk about bad things, you know, you talk about all the evil that's in the world. Why don't you talk about good things? And certainly sometimes I'm sure people feel that we are sort of a downer, and that, you know, we do not give you a lot of good news, but you're going to get the good news from everybody else. My real philosophy is this. You can't sell people life insurance unless you can convince them you're going to die. You have to convince them there's a problem before they're going to buy that life insurance policy. And you can't get people involved in this very real battle for the survival of Western civilization and for the souls of men unless they know there's a problem. And so what I do is try to outline what that problem is and encourage people then to seek for the answer. And when you first get started, it seems so absurd. I mean, everything we know, or we think we know, you know, is wrong. And it's sort of like we live in the Truman Show, that wonderful story with Jim Carrey. If you've never seen it, you really need to get it. And this is a young man who born in an idyllic community and grew up on this island and had never been off the island. And, you know, he marries his childhood sweetheart. He's got all the friends that grew up with him. And then one day somebody comes and says, Truman, don't you understand? This is a television set. None of this is real. I mean, your wife's an actor. Your best friends are an actor. And how can that be? And then he notices that when his wife is going to pour him the cereal, you know, but she holds it up almost as if she's posing so that people can see the name of the cereal. And she gives a little talk about how great that is. And he suddenly begins to realize that maybe, just maybe, of course, maybe it is true. Maybe everything is simply a television set. If you haven't seen the movie, why, you can get it. It's well worthwhile watching. And I would like to suggest that much of what we know today comes to us as part of the Truman Show. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest right now is Jeffries from New Orleans. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Hi. 3 o'clock this morning over Radio Australia and NHK Tokyo, the following story broke. The U.S. and Japan have signed an agreement for the U.S. to withdraw 50,000 Marines out of Okinawa and close several bases in Japan and return them to Guam. The Japan will pay 60% of the cost of this transfer. What it works out to be is that New Orleans is that the U.S. is withdrawing from Eastern Asia and is going to a fallback position in the Pacific, which obviously leaves the Republic of China and Taiwan more vulnerable than ever, especially given the situation of the threat from Red China, etc.
Now, right. So, what was the point of you'd like to?
The point of this is that while all of this befalderall about immigration is going on, and the U.S. is very quietly shifting its forces away from Asia, making Red China safer, while getting us bogged down in this Iraq business, and at the same time we did nothing about Fidel Castro in Cuba, and are continuing the decline toward the premeditated merger into a one world government, which was predicted in the 1950s by Norman Dodd and the Rees Committee's interview with Roland Gaither of the Ford Foundation, and President Bush, of course, isn't saying much about this at all to the American people. I just happen to be listening to shortwave all the time, so I know what's going on in this area.
All right. Well, I think that, first of all, you have to understand we're doing everything we can to build up Communist China's military potential. It doesn't make sense. We've transferred to them the sophisticated technology so they can merge their missiles. Then they gave it to the North Koreans, who are now giving it to the Iranians, who may very well turn it on Europe. None of this makes sense unless you understand that behind everything going on today, there are secret societies, and these are worldwide, and these are really satanic organizations, or at least have their foundation in the other dimensions. So if we respond to each one of the things they do, we'll just be scared to death all the time. You understand what they're doing, it makes a lot more sense. We have traitors in Washington, D.C. who have no loyalty to America, who are moving us towards World War III. I have no question in my mind that that's exactly what they want. And then, of course, as you begin reading the scriptures and read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you hear about this terrible war that's going to come about. And you see how the countries are lined up. It's just like somebody had read the script. Hold just a moment. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is right now calling from New Orleans, is Jeffries, and I share your concern, but I'm not going to get panicked because they're doing something like that. Why do we still have troops in Japan 50 years after the Second World War, 60 years after the Second World War ended? And why do we still have troops in Germany 60 years after the Second World War ended? Nothing as it appears to be, and when you understand that, everything begins to make sense.
Well, of course, the point is that all of these secret societies are following the philosophy of Immanuel Kant, who in his Foundations of the Metaphysics of Morals said that the ultimate supposed expression of reason is the categorical imperative, thou shalt do that which I say to be the universal law, which is really a complete rejection of reason and a support of the ultimate use of force as described in 1984.
Right, and I think I fear that we are moving into terrible, terrible times for America, and I don't think the average American is prepared for the breakdown in the structure of our society. We're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. We have 20 million illegal aliens in this country, and they're not bad people as a whole, but we have this MS-13 gang, 50,000 members. These are violent people. They make the mafia look like school kids. I mean, it's just soon cut your throat as look at you just for the fun of it. In fact, in many of these gangs, you have to kill somebody before you can actually get into it. And then they got the M18 gang. That's another gang. All of these are there. The police are almost afraid of them. And of course, we don't feel it where I am in Northern California, but I'll tell you down there in Southern California, why, you know, it's just, they're just trying to keep the lid on things to keep it from getting out of hand. But wait till, of course, we have violence in this country. Wait till the terrorists set off a couple of bombs. Wait till suddenly there are no jobs anymore. Wait till food is not readily available in our stores, and see what's going to happen as the veneer of civilization begins to fade away. We've got real problems in America today.
Yeah, I know. We just had a talk on the hurricane evacuation plans down here in New Orleans in the future. What they're going to do is try to put everybody on trains and buses to the other side of town 30 hours before the storms hit. But the whole problem is that Katrina moved so fast that there wasn't hardly any time to get people out of the town, by, that is, people who didn't have automobiles. And the other part of the situation is that they want to take the guns away from the law-abiding citizens while letting the criminals have their guns, and of course that's also part of the plan to justify establishing a totalitarian state in this country.
You're absolutely right. And we need to let people understand that who's going to defend you when they disarm the civilian population? These people who hate our Constitution, don't believe in it, they ought to pick up and leave the country.
I know what you mean, but they're not going to do it. They're going to try to do just what, if you remember the Othello play, what Iago did to Othello, where he blackmailed him into murdering his wife and so on. That's what they really want to do to us, and it's absolutely ridiculous, and that's one of the reasons why I'm a supporter of Ayn Rand and the objectivist movement.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you'll keep listening to our program, and you'll get all those people down there in New Orleans listening. And incidentally, we'll be starting a program there at 1 o'clock in the morning on one of the stations. Actually, it's already started there. I don't know which station it is, but they're going to be there for now. But if you're listening to on the internet, that's fine.
No, I listen on short wave.
Okay, great. All right. Well, it's good to have you, Jeffrey, and thank you so much. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Not much, except that I can tell you that those demonstrations by the immigrants were not spontaneous. They were planned by one of George Bush's publicity companies that put him into office in Texas in 1993, and that this was set up by Bush and Vicente Fox on December 19, 2005, according to Dallas Morning News.
Well, I'll tell you that I know the communists were involved in it, and they're also, of course, you have La Raza and Lulac and Malde, but they're all funded by the Ford Foundation. And until the American people understand that the communist movement in America has been funded by these people of great wealth from its inception, until they understand that, they can't understand anything going on, because it just doesn't make sense.
And, of course, it was done on May Day, which is the International Communist Workers'
sure.
Day, taken over from the Catholic Church's celebration of the birthday of the Virgin Mary.
And, of course, if they really wanted to celebrate Mexico, they should have had it on Cinco de Mayo. No, they picked the Communist Day. The day of communists all around the world were demonstrating. So, like, the Earth Day, it just happens to be Lenin's birthday, just by coincidence.
Yeah, no, just no coincidence, folks.
God bless.
It's all part of the same conspiracy.
It sure is. God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, if you have a comment. But, you know, Jeffrey was just talking a little bit about Norman Dodd and the Reese Committee. And if you do not know about the Reese Committee investigation, you really need to get the book we carry called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. We've actually kept this book in print for many years. It was written by Rennie Wormser, who was the counsel for the Reese Committee, the only congressional committee ever really allowed to investigate and find out what the great tax-exempt foundations were doing. Now, you have to go back to the period of 1952 and 1953. China went communist in 1949. And well, it became very obvious that the reason China went communist was because the American State Department did everything they could to bring communism to China. And despite the fact that the Congress of the United States appropriated $125 million for weapons, which would be equivalent probably to, maybe $3 or $4 billion for weapons for the nationalist Chinese today, but despite the fact that the Congress had appropriated all the money for weapons and it was loaded onto ships, the State Department wouldn't let those ships sail. for a year and a half. Those ships were sitting in port. We were paying a rent on those ships, paying them as if they were sailing. And then finally, when China had been pretty well defeated and the nationalists had fled to the to Formosa. Why? Because they didn't have anything to fight with. You can't fight without weapons and without ammunition. And it wasn't that they were nationalist Chinese Chiang Kai-shek's forces were being defeated in battle. They were retreating 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the advancing communist army. We have a wonderful four-tape set called China, and two of those tapes are actually there was a talk given by Reverend Mellon, who was there at that time, and he tells you how, you know, the nationalist Chinese pulled out a couple of weeks before the communist advance. Well, anyway, of course, when the loaded ships were finally allowed to sail to China, and they unloaded all the boxes and ammunition and rifles, and then when they got the rifles out, they found they didn't have any bolts in them, and they were useless. The United States government brought communism to China, and the question was why. And so it was 1951, 1952, everybody was asking those questions. Joe McCarthy was asking those questions, but certainly in Congress there were people asking those questions. 1952 came along, and they had some various Senate and House investigations. They had found out that much of the pro-communist propaganda in the United States had been funded by the Rockefeller and the Ford and the Carnegie Foundation. So they commissioned a congressional committee. Now, the Democrats controlled Congress, and there was Congressman Cox, was a Democrat, and he was commissioned, he was appointed by Congress to find out what the great tax-exempt foundations were doing, and he started an investigation, and then, as so often happens, he just up and died. And that ended the investigation. But in the fall of 1952, while the Republicans took over control of the House of Representatives, of course, Dwight David Eisenhower took over the presidency, and the Republicans took control of the House of Representatives. So they appointed Congressman B. Carroll Reese to head a committee to find out what the great tax-exempt foundations were doing. And he was given a certain amount of money and a staff, and his counsel was a man named Rennie Wormser, who some years later wrote the book, We Carry Foundations, Their Power and Influence. And they appointed for the director of research, Norman Dodd. And if you haven't heard my interview with Norman Dodd, well, you need to get it. We have it. It's in the Secret Government four-tape set. And then he tells how, of course, they found out, you know, that the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace was planning in 1908. This was even before the foundation was actually incorporated, but the board of directors was planning on how they were going to bring about the First World War, because they really felt that the way to change the world was through war. But even more telling is, he goes into the background of how this all ties into fractional reserve banking and how they create money out of nothing so they can push their socialist programs. And there are an elite who control this country. In fact, they even told him they were going to kill him if he persisted in his investigation. But he tells at one point, going to see Rowan Gaither, who is the president of the Ford Foundation. And Mr. Gaither, I said, well, Mr. Dodd, why is Congress investigating the Ford Foundation? And Mr. Dodd said, well, because, of course, you are spending the people's money, and we'd like to know what you were doing. And Mr. Gaither said, well, let me tell you what we're doing. I mean, most of us here at the Ford Foundation have worked either through the intelligence agencies or the State Department. We're used to working under presidential directives. And we are working today to so alter America that one day this country can be peacefully merged with the Soviet Union. And Mr. Dodd said, well, then of course you've explained to me exactly why the American people have a right to know that. Will you tell them? And Mr. Gaither said, of course not. In other words, they don't want the American people to know that this whole battle between communism and capitalism is as phony as a $3 bill. It always has been. It's like that old story that Plato wrote about, you know, when the tyrant has defeated his enemy by conquest or treaty and there's nothing to fear from him, then he's always out rousing up another war so he can rally the people behind him. Why do you think that George Bush wants to attack Iran so badly now? He's got to get the people back behind him, and he thinks that they're going to be able to do that, and I hope and pray that he's wrong. But he seems to be hell-bent upon taking this into another conflict in the Middle East and expanding it. And, of course, unfortunately, when you go to war, you never know how that war is going to end up. And you may think it's only going to be a very limited situation. But what happens if Iran has a couple of ships and off our coast of East Coast and lobs a couple of nuclear weapons into New York City or Washington, D.C.? What do you think would happen to the infrastructure of our society if that happened? And so you must understand that we have an elite that runs this country. And their real goal is world government. They're not anti-communist. They're not pro-communist. They use communism as they always have. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you'd like to hear my interview with Norman Dodd, I did it back in 1980. It's in the secret government, 4-tape set. And certainly we have a secret society's 4-tape set. We have all sorts of 4-tape sets. We've got Mike calling in from Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yeah, I've been listening for quite a while.
Before. Okay, but I don't recall anybody from calling from Toledo before.
Hey, what got me thinking about it was when they was going to put Katie Couric on the evening news now. And I remember you talking one time about Connie Chung when she was anchoring, and something that she said that got her blackballed. I was wondering if you could refresh my memory.
No, I really can't. I really don't remember what it was. Maybe somebody else can, but I sort of remember that, but I don't remember the details.
Oh, that's too bad.
But I'll tell you what, if you you get out of line and you tell the truth, why, that'll be your last...
Yeah, it was something like that. I think it was like a slip of the tongue, and she said something that was the truth, and it got her kicked off.
So. We have a wonderful book. It's called Into the Buzzsaw, and it's written by I've forgotten her name, Kristen Breitwiser, something of the sort. But anyway, she was actually a producer on 60 Minutes, and she wanted to bring out the truth about TWA 800, and there was no way they were going to let the American people know the truth. And so then they shifted. She went over to work for ABC. They were going to put her on, but pressure was brought from the government to get rid of her, and now today she couldn't get a job anywhere, of course, in television, even though she was an accomplished producer for 60 Minutes. And certainly the same thing happened with Gary Webb. Of course, he was a writer, Nobel Prize-winning writer for the San Jose Mercury, and he wrote a series of articles about the CIA involvement in drug smuggling. Well, they got him not only fired from his regular job, but blackballed, so he couldn't get a job anywhere at all, and of course, it cost him his marriage, and then he, of course, committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. That is the most amazing thing, how determined he was. He shot himself in the head twice, and when I hear people tell me, of course, he was a suicide, I sort of question if I can trust anything they say. But certainly, you know, if you are in the media and you try to tell the truth, why, you're going to be in real trouble. Our friend Craig Roberts tells the story. He had written, I think, 8 books, and then he wrote a book from which the Medusa file comes, and he gave it to his agent, and they shopped to all the major publishing houses in New York, and none of them would take it. And Craig was really rather depressed until he got a call from one of the senior editors at Simon & Schuster, who told Craig what a great book it was and how he had to get it published. And Craig said, well, why won't you publish if it's so good? And the fellow said, I'd lose my job. Don't you know that the CIA has agents assigned to every publishing house? If I tried to publish that book, I'd be out of a job tomorrow. This is the reality of where we are today. So people have to understand how the game is played. Or they'll publish your book and they won't distribute it. Or they'll destroy the place of the first half of the book, as they did with Professor Quigley. Until people understand so much of what you know, we get is simply filtered, and it's so difficult to get the truth. Every once in a while it sneaks through, because they can't lie all the time. But but most of it, of course, is a lie. Anything else, Mike?
No, I was hoping you could recall that, but...
Maybe somebody else out in the listening audience can remember what Connie Chung had said. I haven't heard about Connie for quite some time.
Yeah, I know that. You don't hear about her no more.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's sort of like when you get bounced out of the networks, it's like yesterday's sunset that never comes back again.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, I've got time for one more call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question, if you have a comment, but we were simply going into the background of how it was that the Reese Committee hearings were commissioned, and Congressman B. Carroll Reese tried to find out what the Great Tax Exempt Foundations were doing, and what he found out is they were funding communism. They were funding this whole idea of world government. They were getting our encyclopedias rewritten. They were getting our textbooks rewritten. They were influencing the educational system in America. They were intent upon changing America, specifically the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and, of course, the Carnegie Foundation. And, of course, if you've read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll realize that all of those great tax-exempt foundations were tied into people or families that had strong ties to the occult. And until you understand that Henry Ford was involved with the occult, until you understand that Andrew Carnegie was involved with the occult, and the Rockefeller family is involved with the occult, until you begin to understand this, nothing makes sense. And once you understand it, everything begins to fit together. So if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And if you'd like to get the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and if there's anybody there that'd like to screen through sort of the last segment of the program, Kevin, why go ahead and at least screen through one of the callers if they want to talk to me. Otherwise, we've only got 3 more minutes before we have to wrap up the program here. And let's see who we have on line one. Who do we have on line one?
Hi. I'm Valerie from Leesburg, Virginia.
Well, hi, Valerie from Leesburg, Virginia. It's good to have you with us here at Radio.
Thank you. I'm just curious. I've been listening to you for quite a while, and do you get a lot of people writing and calling in about the unusual high taxes that some of our government officials are? I mean, we are so taxed out in Virginia. I'm from the Midwest and moved out here about 8 years ago. And I just cannot believe what I pay in taxes here, homeowners, was my home payment, you know, with escrow back home in Minnesota.
No, we haven't had a lot of callers about it, but I'm sure it's oppressive. The government never has enough money. They've always got to try to get more money from the people. Here in California, I could not afford the house I live in if we didn't have Proposition 13. And if they repeal it, I'd have to leave California.
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, that simply puts a lid on how much they can only increase the taxes on your house 1% a year.
Well, you know, they keep building out here and allowing builders to come in, and the builders aren't subsidizing like they should for schools if they want to build. And we're just being, I mean, we spend probably close to $8,000 a year just in, that's just the local county taxes. That's not even the town. That's just homeowners. I mean, they tax you for everything.
Well, I mean, this is why people move to Florida, where they move to, say, Nevada, to get away from taxes. And so this is one thing you have to think about when you are relocating.
Well, it's interesting because one of the politicians who recently made the statement that if people don't like it, they can leave, and don't let the door hit them in you know what when they leave. And unfortunately, we're an area in Northern Virginia where there have been a lot of people that grew up here, older retirees that no longer can afford their homes.
And that's unfortunately, Valerie, that is happening all across America. And
I've
believe me, it's going
it
to get a lot worse. Hey, we're out of time. God bless you.
Okay, well, thank you.
And thanks so much for calling, and thanks for listening. And I want you to get everybody back there in Virginia listening to Radio Liberty.
I love it. I just love you guys.
God bless. Thanks
all
so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Valerie calling from the northern part of Virginia. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to thank everybody who called in this evening. It sure helps out. I've been a little under the weather for a few days, and when you've got a full hour to do and nothing to say, why, it's great when people do call in. And so thank you all. And I hope you've enjoyed the program. We've covered everything from what's wrong with socialism. It's basically a vehicle of controlling people. It's not to provide for the people, it's to control the people. And, of course, to getting into, of course, what's happening in the world today. We haven't solved all the problems, but maybe if we had another hour or two, we could under any circumstances. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And whether you're listening on shortwave, on radio someplace, or on the Internet, or on satellite, remember it all is expensive. If you can help us, we'd appreciate it. And our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, we'd be glad to send you one. Just call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand what's going on, you need to start with my book entitled Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get the video, the audio tape, the DVD, or the book. The book really will give you the documentation, and then, of course, you can build on that. We also, of course, keep in print the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, a very important book, pointing out that people of great wealth are pushing socialism. Why? Because that's how they're going to control you. When we have a free society with limited central government, they can't control you. But when they have a socialist system, they can. That's why people of great wealth push socialism, because, of course, they are wedded to this platonic belief that you need a ruling oligarchy, because you out there in the listening audience are just too stupid to look after yourself, and you need to be controlled by a ruling elite, and they want to be that oligarchy. But behind that are the same spiritual forces that energized Pythagoras and Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great. And they were all disciples of the ancient mysteries and the mystery of religions. Once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. And there are people today who are disciples of the mysteries. In fact, Thomas Jefferson had actually indoctrinated a man named Edward Genet into the mysteries. But that's it'll be in my April newsletter. And if you don't take the newsletter, shame on you. You can always look at it up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. But if you'd like to get the copy and keep them filed away, and we encourage people to do that, and then go back and refer to them. I certainly do. In fact, we've taken a number of our newsletters and put them into pamphlets. We have a 3-pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. We have a 3-pamphlet set on Foreknowledge 911, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. They knew the attack was coming, and they didn't try to stop it. In fact, somebody put explosives at the base of building number 7. I wonder who that was. You think it was Osama bin Laden? Or could it be somebody in this country? And if they knew about it, aren't they just as complicit as Muhammad Atta? And what happened to the records of Abel Danger? Who destroyed those records or so many other records? Ladies and gentlemen, we're up against organized evil, and you've got to help us get the word out. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to us 5 hours a day. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. But pray for on my ministry, for our provision and our protection. Until we're together again, may the Lord be with you.